If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 23. Listen now to the word of God. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll pray before we go into today's message. God, would you be with us as we go into your word today, as we ponder your word, may it be life-giving to us, may it give us direction. Lord, we don't want to just hear words, we don't want to just learn things, we don't want information. Lord, we want direction in this life. We want to know how you want us to live. We want to hear your voice. So, Lord, this is not just a time of teaching. It's not just a time of listening. Lord, it's part of our relationship with you. It's part of the every fiber of our being, that we are your people, that we live by your word. You speak to us. You are a living God. And there are things that you are trying to communicate to us. So, Lord, as we sit and as we listen, may we understand that you are communicating to us an individual message, that you're speaking to us personally, but also that you're speaking to us as a corporate body, that you're speaking to us as a ministry, that you're speaking to us as a church. And as we listen to these things, Lord, we ask that you would give us the strength, the courage, to really adjust some of the things in our lives so that it matches up better with what you ask us to do in your word, so that we can live your word out. Lord, we don't want to be afraid, we don't want to be ashamed, but we want to be people who really attach our lives to the word of God. Lord, give us that strength at this time. Would you be with me as I speak? Would you be with those who listen? So that all of us can understand what your heart is about, what your mind is about. Lord, we thank you. We trust in you. We commit this time to you, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week, we discussed what it means to be a steward of something precious. We discussed what it means to have responsibility over a great power, something that could really change destinies. It can really change the way that history unfolds. And so I thought a lot about that Lord of the Rings reference, thinking about, you know, carrying something to the end. And something that I wanted to remind us of, something that I wanted to ask you and challenge you with is, how have you done this week? You know, with the mission that God has placed in your hands, with the truth that he's given to you, with the responsibility that he's given to you, with the things that he's shown you, the things that he's allowed you to experience, how have you been carrying on that task this past week? Have you been fulfilling your mission? One of the things that I think about when I think about Frodo and the ring is he went through a lot of hardships. He went through a lot of difficulties. There were a lot of times where he wished he was back home, where he wished, you know, where he thought he couldn't take on the journey anymore. You know, who am I to carry this ring? Who am I to carry this? I don't have what it takes. There are a lot of times where he felt that way. And so what I wanted to kind of encourage you with and remind you of is that there were people placed in his life. You know, that first movie, it was called The Fellowship of the Ring. And at the heart of it was that there were people that were there with him. They were walking with him. They were there to share in his struggles. They were there to carry the burden together. And so, you know, one from each, I guess, of the major races or the people groups in the Lord of the Rings lore, you know, they were there to walk step by step with him. And so it's not a burden that we carry alone. We walk this journey, we walk this life together. I think that's part of what helped Paul on his journey as well, that he had companions there with him who were struggling with him, who were there with him, who could understand his pains and his struggles. So as we think about the great message or the great power, the great gospel that has been given to us, the good news that has been revealed to us, we carry that message. It's difficult sometimes. It's hard. It's tiring. We get weary. There are times where we say, you know, God, we don't want this responsibility. You know, maybe pass this on to someone else. You know, this isn't for me. This doesn't fit who I am. But remember that there are people there with you, that there are people who are encouraging you, who are supporting you, who are there with you on the journey, a fellowship of believers who are around you. So I wanted to encourage you with that as we start today's message. And also know that as hard as the road is, that there's always hope as long as you are on the path. You know, as difficult as it was, as many battles as they had to face, as many losses as they incurred, there was always hope. Even when they were separated, there was always hope because they thought about, you know, where is Frodo? Where is he on that road? And as long as Frodo was headed in the right direction, as long as he didn't give up the fight, as long as he didn't decide to just go home and go back to who he was, as he stayed there, committed to the journey, committed to his responsibility, you know, walking on that path, there was hope for everyone. And that's something that I really believe is part of the believer's journey, part of the believer's responsibility, that there is hope in this world as long as people are just committed to that path, as long as we're willing to see it through. There are difficult times, but as long as we stay, as long as we stay on track and understand the responsibility of a steward, responsibility of people who have been shown and been given a great secret, a great mystery, a great thing, a great news, it is important for us to continue that journey. It's something that I wanted to remind you of today. It's something that I'm going to reference also in today's message. But today's message, today's passage, we hear Paul again speaking about his role in this thing called spreading the gospel. There's a big deal around this. This is so important. This is something that is crucial. And this is his idea, his understanding of who he was, his role in this, the way that he adjusted his life, the way that he, you know, saw himself in some ways. And I think one of the things that is really important, I think it's stressed in today's society, is the idea of identity. It's the idea of self-identity. You know who you are. And in these days, it's a lot about self-worth. You know who you are. Know what you're worth. You know, stand up for who you are. Stand up for what you believe in. There's a lot of emphasis on personal identity. It's important that you know who you are. This is actually a trend. It's actually kind of like a movement in Christian circles as well. In the way that we preach and the way that pastors are taught, it's really important to know who we are. So, you know, for myself as well, I stress the idea of being a child of God. You have to know who you are in this world. You are a child of God. But if we look at today's passage, it's funny because this is a man who knew who he was. He understood his calling as an apostle. He knew that he was a child of God. We preached about that in the past as well. But in today's message, we see, you know, I was willing to become many things. I was willing to become whatever was necessary. And I think a lot of times we get a sense of who we are. We get a sense of what we stand for. We have a sense of our identity, our personality, the way that we were made, the way that we were shaped. And, you know, owning it and feeling confident in it is a sign of maturity. It's a sign of emotional maturity. Basically, if you know who you are, if you have consistency in your life, you know, that's a virtue in today's society. You know, it's really important for you to be a consistent person, to stand for the right things, to say the right things. You know, these days, it's one of the complaints that many celebrities have, or it's one of the things that happens a lot, but especially with athletes or with politicians, a lot of the scandals that occur is because they are a certain person today, they stand for certain things, but people will dig up some of the things that they've said in the past, you know, when they were teenagers, what they said on Twitter, or some of the posts that they made on Instagram or on social media when they were young, and they'll dig up some of the inconsistencies. And they'll say, this person is a fraud. This person is a fake. And so these days, a lot of athletes, a lot of celebrities, a lot of politicians, they've been having to pay for, you know, some of the mistakes that they've made and the inconsistencies of their personal characters, you know, that were not really in line with their identity or their reputation that they had. So there's a big focus on that. There's a big emphasis on that. I think that was also true back in the biblical days as well. You know, knowing who you were, knowing what people you belonged to, you know, that was so important. Right, that was of utmost importance, particularly to the Jewish people. You know, they guarded their identity so much so that, you know, they didn't want anyone around them. You know, they tried to disassociate themselves with other people groups. They wanted to be separate. They knew that they were set apart. Now, there's a lot of, you know, holiness in that. There's a lot of virtue in that as well. But you know, their identity sometimes became their pride. It became their what they stood for, what they lived for. And so, you know, it's really important to be able to say, I am a certain category of person. And the way that I live, the things that I do, the people that I hang out with, you can kind of guess my actions. You can guess my words. You can guess where I'll be. You know, you can guess how I'll worship. You can guess the food I'll eat based on how I categorize myself. You can almost kind of put them into categories in the early biblical days based on whether they were a Jew, whether they were a Gentile, whether they were someone who followed the law, whether they were under the law. You know, you can see where they live. You can see the way that they communicate with each other. You could see the way, even in the way that they kind of congregated, they would separate themselves based on their identity. This was, of course, a problem in the church as well. It's something that was very famously a problem in the Roman church. But it's something that, you know, it's human nature. It's part of who we are. You know, we identify ourselves as Korean. We might identify ourselves as American. We might identify ourselves as Christian. There are all kinds of categories that we place upon ourselves. And based on those categories, we're expected to act a certain way. We're expected to eat certain foods. We're expected to speak a certain language, right? And when those things don't add up, then it's like, what is wrong with you? How come you're Korean, but you can't speak Korean? How come you live in America, but you can't speak English? See, when those inconsistencies arise, that's when people think that there's something wrong. And so it becomes a question of identity. It becomes a question of, if you are a certain person, if you are categorized in a certain way, then should you not act this way? Should you not be this way? And when there are inconsistencies, that's when trouble arises. That's when people will point it out. That's when it stands out, mostly in a negative way. You know, identity is really, really important. And the example that I wanted to bring up today is a very painful one for me today, particularly this morning. Because last night, my beloved Yankees lost to the Houston Astros in heartbreaking fashion. I don't know if you follow baseball, but it was possibly the worst way to lose. So I need to give you a little bit of background. I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I love the Yankees. I watched the game last night, and they did something amazing. It was 4-2 in the ninth inning, and it looked like all hope was lost. And I was already disgruntled. I was already, like, my face was red. I was sweating. I was already angry. I was like, oh, I know how this is going to end. But all of a sudden, a player named DJ LeMahieu hit a home run in the ninth inning and gave my heart hope. And he made the score 4-4. And I thought to myself, this is it. The Yankees are going to do it. This is the comeback. And I got all excited. I was really happy. I found myself, you know, hopeful again. In the bottom of the ninth, the Houston Astros came up to bat. And against the Yankees closer, perhaps their best pitcher, their best reliever, a player named Jose Altuve, stepped up with two outs. And he hit a walk-off home run to end the Yankees' playoff season, to end their hopes of a World Series. It broke my heart. And it reminded me of something. It showed me something. It kind of is a painful thing to talk about this morning. But when you're in the playoffs, you'll see baseball teams do a lot of weird things. In the playoffs, because there's a goal in mind, because there's something that's really important, something that everyone understands is the final goal, people are willing to do all kinds of things. When they're sitting down at the contract negotiation table, when you're a free agent, a starting pitcher will never identify themselves as a reliever. They will never allow that to happen. They will call themselves a starting pitcher. Why? For negotiation's sake, for contractual purposes, for reasons of money and, you know, finances, a starter makes much more money than a reliever. So when they sit down at the negotiation table, they will never identify themselves as a reliever. They will start, I'm a starting pitcher. And we're negotiating as a starting pitcher. Starting pitchers make much more money than relievers. So they'll say, you know, I'm not a relief pitcher. And for a starting pitcher, you know, to be a relief pitcher, it's almost a demotion. It's almost insulting. So when there was a famous baseball player in New York just a few years ago, Matt Harvey, he was a player for the Mets, and he was a star starter. He was meant for the big bucks. You know, he was really a big deal in the New York media, the Mets fan base. They loved him, but he was struggling, and they moved him to be a reliever. And he took that as such an insult. He's like, I'm not a reliever. You know, this is not right. And he fought his managers about it. He talked to the press about it. He was thoroughly embarrassed, thoroughly ashamed to be a reliever, to be warming up in the bullpen when he had been a starter. You see, that's how important it is to starting pitchers to be seen as starting pitchers and to have that starting role. But in the playoffs, you'll see them do weird things. Starters will volunteer themselves to be bullpen pitchers. And we saw this happen in this year's playoffs. A team that used it to, you know, very great success were the Washington Nationals, who are in the World Series right now. When they entered into the playoffs, their weakness were their relievers. Their bullpen was their weakness. And so their starters, they have three amazing starters, three of the highest paid pitchers in baseball. And they're amazing starters. And they got through the playoffs by starting with a pitcher, and then the next pitcher that would come in was another starter. So they would send their second best starter into the bullpen, and he came in as a reliever. And you'd ask yourself, why would you degrade yourself that way? If you're so adamant that you're not a reliever, you know, in your contractual negotiations, when you feel like that would be a demotion in the regular season, why are you so willing to be a relief pitcher in the playoffs? It's because they understand what the goal is. When you get to the playoffs, you understand how close that World Series ring is. You realize how important it is to win that prize. And so all these starting pitchers who have this pride and who have this ego, who are built and who are trained and who are, you know, who believe themselves to be starting pitchers, they're willing to take on relief roles. They're willing to come out of the bullpen. They're willing to sacrifice their title as a starting pitcher because they understand that there is a bigger picture, that there is a bigger goal, that there is a bigger prize. Now, for that lengthy analogy, the reason I say that is a lot of times we become tied into our identities. We become tied into who we think we are, the way that we act, our reputations, our personalities. You know, we get so tied up into the roles that we have, the reputation that's been assigned to us, the categories that we've been placed in. And sometimes because of that, we lose sight of the larger goal. We lose sight of the fact that we're here for a purpose, that we're here on a mission. And so while I thought again about starting pitchers and relievers, and I thought about the World Series, I thought again about our friend Frodo Baggins. He's not a guy that can carry the ring. He can't even guard the ring. You know, if he looks back on his own identity, on his own attributes, on his own characteristics, he's not one that can carry that burden. He's not one that can bear the responsibility of the ring because he can't guard it. He knows this. And throughout the trilogy, throughout all the movies, he's always talking about how weak he is, how small he is. I'm just a hobbit. You know, I'm just from the Shire. Like, why, what am I doing here? You know, how am I going to get this? How am I going to get this to the end? How am I going to destroy this ring? It's too much of a burden to bear. And that's because he thought of himself. He was looking at himself. He was looking at his qualifications, his personality, his characteristics. I'm smaller than everyone. I'm weaker than everyone. I can't guard this. This is too big of a burden. When we get tied sometimes to the categories, to the identity that sometimes we even place on ourselves, it prevents us from seeing the bigger goal. It prevents us from seeing the bigger purpose. And so the reason that I keep making the analogy between Frodo Baggins and the Apostle Paul, it doesn't seem like one that really makes sense, but Paul was a man who understood his purpose. He understood the goal, and he was willing to do whatever it took to make sure that he was going to reach that prize, that he was going to be able to do the work that God placed in his life, to bear the responsibility of a steward, to get to the end, to make sure that the gospel message was preached. So he's not worried about who he is. He's not worried about what people say about him. He's not worried about the categories and the reputation that was placed upon him. And so he knows who he is, but he doesn't see it as the utmost important thing. Though he knows who he is, though he has his identity, what's more important to him is the goal, the purpose for his life. So he's not here trying to set a reputation for himself, to be known a certain way, to have a certain standing among people. You know, in some ways, when you look back on his words, the way that he lived his life, it probably drew a lot of criticism. And in the Bible, we see, in fact, it did draw a lot of criticism. Because people looked at him and they said, you know, one day you're doing this, one day you're doing that. And it became a source of struggle for him. It was a source of frustration for him. The Jews didn't like when he was acting like a Gentile. The Gentiles didn't like when he was acting like a Jew. They called him out on it several times. But Paul explains this. And the way that he explains it is, it's not about me. It's not about what I see about myself. It's not about my identity. It's not even about what people say about who I am. It's about the message that I bear. It's about the responsibility that I have. It's about the thing and the purpose that God has given to me. And that is above all things. It's even above myself. It's above my own identity. And what he says is, and I do this for the sake of the gospel. I do this for the sake of the gospel. I hope and pray that that's a statement that we can make in our lives. That when people look at us and they see the way that we live our lives, you know, people who have known us, people who understand what our reputation is, they know the categories that you're supposed to fit into. But maybe you surprise them. Maybe you go against those things. Maybe you work outside the lines and outside the box of what the world has created for you. And the reason that you give for when they say, why do you act like that? Why do you live like that? Why do you say those words? You say, I do this for the sake of the gospel. I do this for the sake of the purpose that God has given to me. What he has asked me to do in this world. What he has placed under my care. If we know Jesus Christ, if we've received him into our hearts, if we believe that it is the greatest thing in this world, then it is part of our responsibility. It is part of our job. It is our path. It is our obligation, and it is our duty. It is required of us to be faithful to the Master and to carry that message to others, to preach the gospel to others, to share that good news with others. What are you willing to do for that purpose? A lot of people, they say, that's not me. You know, that's not my personality. I'm an introvert. I'm shy. You know, I don't have the education. I don't have the eloquence. I'm not articulate enough. I haven't read enough books. Oh, that doesn't fit my personality. It doesn't fit my reputation to do those things. Maybe it's time for us to start seeing past our identity, past the characteristics that we see in ourselves, past the categories that the world has placed on us. And we need to start seeing the importance of the gospel message being preached. Understand the goal. Understand the purpose of our lives. Understand what has been placed in our care, what has been revealed to us. And when you truly understand how important that is, then we don't even stand in our own way. Then our own reputation, our own images, our own characteristics, our own personalities, they don't become an excuse. We understand what we need to do. And so in this passage, we see Paul saying, you know, I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to be anyone. I'm willing to associate with any group. I will become weak so that I could save the weak. To win the weak, I have become all things by all people, in all possible ways, by all possible means, so that I can save a few. You know, maybe we need to understand that this is part of the desperation, part of the urgency that Christians are supposed to live with. I think so many times we think someone else will do it. Someone else will step up. Someone with a personality that more matches this sort of lifestyle will take care of it. And maybe we pass on that responsibility. Maybe we excuse ourselves based on how we see ourselves, based on how we think God created us. We need to be reminded of the life of Apostle Paul. It's not that he was just equipped for this. It's not that he was just born to do this kind of work. He went through a lot of things. He went through a lot of changes. He had to make adjustments in his life. He heard all kinds of things from all different groups of people. But he understood that his goal, that his purpose was greater than those things. What are you willing to do? How are you willing to change? What are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice even your own image, even your own identity? Are you willing to go beyond even the ideas of self that you have? Even the ideas or even the limitations that you place on yourselves, are you willing to go beyond those things? If you understand how great the goal is, how great the purpose is, then you will be willing to do those things. With the World Series set before them, starting pitchers are willing to be relievers. When they're thinking about themselves, they're not willing to do that. When they're thinking about what they can gain for themselves, they're not willing to do that. But when the World Series is close, when they can see it before their eyes, they're willing to do whatever it takes to win that prize, to reach that goal. I pray that you would see the gospel message, the spreading of the gospel, giving life, giving hope to others is so much more important, so much more desperate, so much more urgent than a stupid baseball game, than a stupid World Series. People are willing to, you know, injure themselves, to put their careers at risk just for one World Series. What are we willing to risk so that we could save someone, so that we could get the gospel message to someone, so that we could reach out with the good news to someone who needs it? Paul was willing to be anyone. He was willing to be all things. He was willing to be anything so that he could reach those that associated with them, with that group. It caused him a lot of problems. It caused him heartache. It probably caused him to lose some friends. It caused him to hurt his reputation in some ways. But in the end, he knew who he was doing this for. He knew why he was doing it. And he knew that the purpose was greater than even himself, even his own self-image or his self-identity. I do this for the sake of the gospel. May that be a word. May that be a phrase that we live by, that we can say as we live our lives in this world. Let us pray. Lord, as your people, may we be bold enough, may we be courageous enough to start living, to spread your gospel message to those who need to hear it. We get lost sometimes, God, in the comfort of our lives, in the comfort and the familiarity of the people around us. We settle into the categories and the identity that we believe for ourselves. We allow our understanding of our own personalities and our own limitations to excuse us from doing your work, from spreading your gospel, or building your kingdom. Help us to see the goal as greater. Help us to see that our purpose in this world is more than what we see for ourselves. Help us to take on this responsibility with courage, with boldness. And at every opportunity that we get, help us to practice. Help us to practice being people that live for your gospel, that live for your message, that can spread the love, spread the joy. We thank you, God. We need your Holy Spirit to empower us through this. It's not something that comes to us naturally. So God, would you empower each and every one of us in this room so that we could live this out? We thank you, God. We trust in you and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.